And as you're doing that, if we think back to last week, we looked at that the fifth controversy. If you remember back that the religious leaders had been asking Jesus questions, trying to trap him. Jesus answered the last question. They were silent. So Jesus said, "Hey, I'm going to ask a question." So he started asking about David. He went to Psalm 110, verse 1, and asked them questions about David. How my Lord says to my Lord, the Lord says to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies your footstool. But as we worked through the passage last week, we came to realize that God takes the condition of our hearts very, very seriously. And so we can't become lazy or complacent with the condition of our hearts. We have to allow our hearts to be moved by the testimony of God through his words. And we have to battle for heart transformation, not just external conformity. And we have to live with a heart that is driven by trust in God. And so Jesus is still in the temple teaching. And so the text this morning, Jesus is hearing people talking about how beautiful and how magnificent the temple was. And then he makes this shocking statement, a prediction, regarding the destruction of the temple. Right? In that prediction is kind of this warning to not be overly impressed with the temple, because the building itself is temporary. It may look really nice, but eventually it's going to be turned to dust. They weren't to see the temple as permanent. Now, that statement for those people in the temple would have been absolutely shocking. They would have been very puzzled by that, very concerned by that statement. They would have wanted Jesus to clarify things. They needed answers. Because the temple was the center of their religious life, the center of their worship. So how can he say that the temple is going to be destroyed? That statement would have got the attention of every set of ears that were within earshot of those words. And what Jesus will continue to do, and we'll see this morning, is he's going to teach on last things, eschatology, the death and judgment and final destiny of all mankind. Jesus will tell the people about certain signs or markers of the last days or last things, but he's not going to give them a timeline. Jesus will call them to live in a state of readiness and watchfulness and to be in prayer. Now, here's the thing. When we start talking about the end times, the last days, or the last things, right, there's many, many questions. Like, I don't know, but like, how many books have people written on the last days? I have no idea. More than 10. All right, there's been a lot. Right, there's so many, right, discussions and theories and ideas, right? And they can create, like, just like headache as you're trying to try to understand and discern these things. It can create some heartache. And it can actually foster division among people. That is absolutely not the point. Jesus calls the people in the temple, he calls us to live in a state of readiness and watchfulness and to be in prayer. What we must do, what we must remember, is that God is in control of all events. The events that have already happened, the events that are occurring right now, and those that will happen in the future. Everything has, is, and will happen according to his perfect timing and his perfect plan. Certainty in the Christian life does not mean we have all the details, but we trust in the one who does. We have to think that way as we enter into our passage this morning. So I want to read for us Luke 21, verses 4 through 38. It's a large chunk. Right? I understand that. We will get through this. Right? But I want to invite you to please stand for the reading of God's word if you are able. I will read for us, and then I will pray for us. Luke 21, starting in verse 5. Luke, under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, wrote these words. And while some were speaking of the temple, how it was adorned with noble stones and offerings, Jesus said, "As for these things that you see, the days will come when there will not be left here one stone upon another that will not be thrown down." And they asked him, "Teacher, when will these things be? And what will be the sign when these things are about to take place?" And Jesus said, "See that you are not led astray. For many will come in my name and saying, 'I am he,' and that the time is at hand. Do not go after them. And when you hear of wars and tumults, do not be terrified. For these things must first take place, but the end will not be at once." Then Jesus said to them, "Nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be great earthquakes, and in various places famines and pestilences. And there will be terrors and great signs from heaven. But before all this, they will lay their hands on you and persecute you, delivering you up to the synagogues and prisons. And you will be brought before kings and governors for my name's sake. This will be your opportunity to bear witness. Settle it, therefore, in your minds, not to meditate beforehand how to answer. For I will give you a mouth and wisdom, which none of your adversaries will be able to withstand or contradict. You will be delivered up, even by parents and brothers and relatives and friends. And some of you they will put to death. You will be hated by all for my name's sake. But not a hair on your head will perish. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. But when you see Jerusalem surrounded by armies, then know that its desolation has come near. Then let those who are in Judea flee to the mountains, and let those who are inside the city depart, and let not those who are out in the country enter it. For these are days of vengeance to fulfill all that is written. Alas for women who are pregnant and for those who are nursing infants in those days. For there will be great distress upon the earth and wrath against this people. They will fall by the edge of the sword and be led captive among the nations, and Jerusalem will be trampled underfoot by the Gentiles until the times of the Gentiles are fulfilled. And there will be signs in sun and moon and stars, and on the earth distress on nations in perplexity because of the roaring of the sea and the waves, people fainting with fear and with foreboding of what is coming on the world, for the powers of heaven will be shaken. And then they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and great glory. Now when these things begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads, because your redemption is drawing near." And he told them a parable. "Look at the fig tree and all the trees. As soon as they come out in leaf, you see for yourselves and know that the summer is already near. So also, when you see these things taking place, you know that the kingdom of God is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will not pass away until all has taken place. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not pass away. But watch yourselves, lest your hearts be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and the cares of this life, and that day come upon you suddenly like a trap. For it will come upon all who dwell on the face of the whole earth. But stay awake at all times, praying that you may have strength to escape all these things that are going to take place and to stand before the Son of Man." And every day Jesus was teaching in the temple, but at night he went out and lodged on the mount called Olivet. And early in the morning, all the people came to him and the temple to hear him. Lord, we just thank you for your words. Lord, we thank you for the warnings that you give us in your words. Lord, we thank you for the commands that you give us in your words. Lord, that you call us to be a people who is ready and who are watchful and who are in prayer. Lord, as we spend some time in this text this morning, I pray that your Spirit would do its work in our minds and our hearts, that our lives would be changed because of your word this morning. And I pray this all in your name. Amen. Jesus makes that shocking statement, right? The people are saying, look how great this place is. Look how great this temple is. And he says, it's going to be dust. It creates some heartache. It creates some concern with the people. And so the disciples ask Jesus, right, for the timing and the sign about these things. Now, don't miss that it's plural. It's things, right? Yes, the temple, the destruction of the temple is in view, but there's something greater going on. There's something bigger happening. So Jesus calls them to see. See that you are not led astray. And that idea of seeing is not just physical sight, right? That seeing is being ready, right? There's that sense of having readiness, ready to learn something, right? That people are going to start saying things, they're going to make false claims. You have to be alert and ready and be aware of this. You need to see this coming. You need to be ready. Don't be misled. Don't be deceived. Live in a state of readiness because, he goes on to say, there will be many false claims. People are going to say that they are the Messiah. People are going to say that they know the timing of the last days. I think I've shared with you years ago on vacation, someone handed me a flyer that Jesus was coming back like the next day, right? And I was all stressed out. I didn't sleep a wink that night. I'm like, ah, boy, I hope I'm good, right? Someone claiming they knew the timing of this. Those people, Jesus says, are not to be followed. There's going to be chaos. And the disciples, Jesus is saying, don't be surprised by this. Don't be disturbed by world events. There's going to be wars and rumors of wars. There's going to be disturbances. There's going to be opposition. But even with all that chaos, Jesus says, the end does not immediately follow. There's still going to be some time. There's going to be natural disasters, Jesus says. There's going to be earthquakes and famines, other things happening, other terrors. There'll be signs from heaven. What Jesus is painting here is a picture of just of chaos and of uncertainty. Now, listen, I don't think this is too bold of a statement. If we're paying attention, we seem to be living in a world of chaos and uncertainty, right? We know what this feels like. But Jesus tells them, listen, this is all going to happen, but other events have to take place first. But know that these things are going to happen. You're going to live in a world that seems like it's in chaos. God is in control of all events that have happened in history, that are occurring now, and that will happen in the future. Everything has, is, and will happen in His perfect timing, according to His perfect plan. Certainty in the Christian life does not mean having all the details, but trusting in the one who does. In verses 12 through 19, Jesus talks about persecution. He tells them that persecution is to be expected. There's a reality here. You're going to be persecuted. But with that persecution comes an opportunity to to bear witness, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom of God, to proclaim Jesus as Lord and Savior, to proclaim the gospel to the worlds. And all this persecution is going to happen, Jesus says, for his name's sake, right? Jesus is a stumbling block. He is the rock of offense. So you start proclaiming my name and standing on my name, you will be persecuted. To stand up for him, to proclaim him, to be identified with Jesus means you are opening yourself up to persecution. In verse 14, Jesus tells the disciples to settle, to place it in your hearts. Right? Knowing that the persecution is coming, you stand up for me, persecution will happen, you must settle. You must make up your mind right now, Jesus says, to what? To not meditate beforehand on how to answer. Okay, this strikes a chord with me because sometimes people will call me and will ask, say, hey, I've got a question, can I meet with you? And I'm like, sure. And they're like, great, I'll see you. You know, we set up a time, and then I don't know why they're coming, right? That's always kind of awkward, right? And so I'm kind of like, so like my mind runs. I have 17 scenarios laid out before I ever talk to the person or meet with the person. Jesus is saying here, listen, just make up your mind right now not to meditate beforehand on how to answer. Right? Don't practice what you're going to say. Don't try to have all the scenarios figured out. Don't. Persecution is one of God's tools to provide for us an opportunity to share the gospel. Jesus wants and calls the disciples to set their hearts at rest right now, that they will know how to reply. When the accusations come, when the words are fired at them, that they will know how to reply. That Jesus will give them what? A mouth. And wisdom. He's promising them provision. In the midst of that persecution, when it seems like you've got 85 people screaming at you, I will tell you what to say. I will show you what to say. Now, he's talked about this all the way back in Luke chapter 12, right? And that comes through the gift of the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit will give you the words to speak in those moments, and those words will leave your opponents, your adversaries, silence. And then he kind of ratchets it up and tells them, like, listen, persecution is going to come from the outside, but persecution is also going to come from inside your families. Parents, brothers, relatives, close friends. You need to be prepared for hostile reactions as soon as you start talking about Jesus. And listen, some of you may actually be killed for standing up for me and proclaiming the good news of the gospel. But here's the hope. Not a hair on your head will perish. They're going to hate you. They're going to say some pretty mean things about you. They're going to threaten you. They might even kill you. But not a hair on your head will perish. There's a hope that you have that if they kill you, you're with me. Your final destruction, it's impossible. It's impossible because you're one of my disciples. I've saved you. You're my child. Not a hair on your head will perish. Right? And that phrase, right? Here's some Greek. It's ume plus the subjunctive. It's the strongest way to say, make a negative comment in the Greek language. It is impossible for you to perish. It will not happen. Endure. By your endurance, you will gain your lives. The Bible talks more about perseverance and endurance than security. By your endurance, you will gain your life. Stay faithful to me. Endure the persecution. Stay steadfast in the light of persecution. Persevere through this. Endure in it. Jesus is telling them to cling to me is to have life. Life to the full. Even in the face of death and what seems to be just unrelenting persecution. God is in control of all events that have happened in history, that occur now, and that will happen in the future. Everything has, is, and will happen in His perfect timing according to His perfect plan. Certainty in the Christian life does not mean having all the details, but trusting in the one who does. In verses 20 through 24, he talks about the destruction of Jerusalem, that Jerusalem will be surrounded, right? And it's a warning that the desolation is near, that the destruction of the city is close, right? This will be the first time that Jerusalem falls. It's going to happen again. So this is just like a preview of what's going to happen. But listen, it's going to be tragic and it's going to be devastating. Right? And this did indeed happen in 70 AD. And the historian Josephus, right, a secular historian, says that during that time, 1.1 million Jews were killed and 97,000 were taken captive. It hadn't happened yet, but Jesus is saying it's going to happen. And when it does, you want to avoid Jerusalem. Because the city is in the crosshairs of God's divine judgment. And rightly and deservedly so. You read through the Old Testament, you read the warnings, right? That there's blessings that come with remaining faithful to God and doing what He requires, but there's also warnings about the curses and the judgment that will come if you don't do what He requires. So what happens to Jerusalem in AD 70 is going to happen to fulfill all that has been written, right? Those warnings, don't forsake me, be faithful to my covenant, you're my people. And all this will be until the time of the Gentiles are fulfilled. Paul talks about this in Romans chapter 11. There'll be a time when the Gentiles are grafted in. I'm a Gentile. I've been grafted in. It's where we live. It's for a limited amount of time. Right, but it's part of God's plan, right? The gospel is for all people, for all nations. But Israel does have a future in God's plan. God is in control of all events that have happened in history, that occur now, and that will happen in the future. Everything has, is, and will happen in His perfect timing according to His perfect plan. Certainty in the Christian life does not mean having all the details, but trusting in the one who does. In verse 20:25 through 28, Jesus talks about the arrival of the Son of Man. Right? And there's a picture here of people basically being at loss for what's happening, what they're witnessing, experiencing. Right? There's a helplessness. Right? Before it was the followers of Jesus who were going to feel the persecution and that pressure, but now it almost shifts to the nations. Right? Jesus says that the sun and the moon and the stars, the earth, right, will give signal to God's judgments. That the people will be fainting in fear. There'll be a foreboding that happens when the powers of heaven are shaken. And they will look up and they will see the Son of Man coming in a cloud with power and authority and great glory. There's a majesty that's going to happen when the Son of Man arrives. Or how about this? When he returns. He's returning to bring judgments with the power of God. He'll have a rule and authority that is rooted in heaven. Now, that does sound a little bit like the first, second, and third controversies out of Luke 2. Remember? What gives you the right to do these things? Jesus says his authority comes from heaven. He's the beloved Son whom they kill. Well, the people are going to be fainting with fear and there's going to be foreboding. But how should the disciples react to this? Now, when these things happen, or when these begin to take place, straighten up and raise your heads. When you see this, when you see the Son of Man, there's going to be people cowering in fear, not knowing what to do. They're going to feel helpless and hopeless. You can stand up tall, and you can raise your heads. Because you know that what God has promised is being fulfilled. He's told you this. Jesus has taught them this. You're longing for this. So straighten up and raise your heads. Because all that God has promised is being fulfilled. He says, because your redemption is drawing near. That idea of redemption is more general in this instance. It's not about being delivered from the penalty of sin or being saved from sin. It's being delivered from a fallen world. The world that's in what? Is in chaos and seems hopeless and distraught. And there's this foreboding that's taking place. Straighten up and raise your heads. God is in control of all events that have happened in history, that occur now, that will happen in the future. Everything has, is, and will happen in his perfect timing, according to his perfect plan. Certainty in the Christian life does not mean having all the details, but trusting in the one who does. Jesus tells them the parable of the fig tree. Fig trees were very common. People loved their fig trees because they got figs. And figs taste good. And he tells them that when you see a fig tree begin to show its shoots and leaves, you know it's a sign of summer. Right? That tree in winter would be completely bare. So as you start seeing leaves pop out, you get excited. He tells them, when you see that happen to the fig tree, that's just a sign of what's going to happen when the kingdom of God is drawing near. You can straighten up and raise your heads. at these world events that are happening that are going to seem chaotic, the persecution that happens. All those things are happening, and it's a signal that the kingdom of God is coming. Heaven and earth will pass away, but my words will not. If you put yourself there for just a moment, sitting in the temple, hearing Jesus say these things, right? Would you not, I mean, if you're like me, would you not be like, man, I'd be like raising my hand wanting to ask questions? Jesus says, listen, my words will not pass away. What I'm telling you, you can trust. Have certainty in what I'm telling you. It's in John 12 where Jesus says he speaks the words of the Father, the words of the Father gives him. You can trust what I'm saying. God is in control of all events that have happened in history, that occur now, and that will happen in the future. Everything has, is, and will happen in his perfect time according to his perfect plan. Certainty in the Christian life does not mean having all the details, but trusting in the one who does. And he concludes in verses 34 to 36 about calling them to watch. You don't know the timing of all of this, but you're ready. Be in a spirit of readiness and watchfulness. In this is this call, like, not to be careless about the events that Jesus has just described, or just kind of like, oh yeah, it's going to happen, whatever. Be kind of nonchalant about it. Or perhaps believing like, hey, I'm never going to see that day. Or that it doesn't really matter how I live. If all that's true, then I can live any way I want to live. It doesn't really matter. No, you need to watch. Remember, God cares deeply about your heart and how you live. But watch yourselves, right? Don't watch your neighbor. Watch yourself. Lest your hearts be weighted down with dissipation and drunkenness and cares of this life. Your hearts become insensitive to the things of the Lord. Remember, we're supposed to have hearts that are moved by the testimony of God's words. Don't put off drunkenness and dissipation, just this unbridled indulgence on whatever you want to do. Because the day's coming, and it's going to be like a trap. And for some people, they're not going to be ready for it because they're not watching. They're not ready. And that trap is going to spring on them. You know, Jesus saying, you know now. You don't know all the details. You don't know the time, but you know. So be watchful. You can live in a state of readiness. You can be watchful. It's a call to faithfulness in the midst of the pressure, in the midst of the chaos that is around us. He's coming back. He's promised it. He's coming back. Let's be watchful. And as we're watchful, let's be a people who pray. We can be praying for ourselves, praying for one another, that we will have the strength to endure. Right? The strength to endure. Who gives us that strength? God does. That we would endure, that we would take what he gives us and use that to endure, to remain faithful to him. That as we look forward and we long for heaven, we long for Jesus to come back. But for now, we live on this earth, and it's chaotic and it's stressful, and there's pressures of being one who follows Jesus and who proclaims the good news of the gospel. Lord, give me the strength to continue to endure. Lord, help me to remain faithful. Help my brothers and sisters in Christ to remain faithful to you while we endure and we wait longingly. I want to straighten up. I want to pick my head up. Give me strength to get there. God is in control of all events. Did you get the point? Right? That have happened in history, that occur now and will happen in the future. Everything has, is, and will happen in His perfect timing according to His perfect plan. Certainty in the Christian life, it does not mean we have all the details, but that we trust in the one who does. And then we get to verse 37 and 38. I find this fascinating that Luke includes this. Right, that every day Jesus was teaching in the temple, but at night he went out and lodged at the mount called Olivet. And early in the morning, all the people came to him in the temple to hear him. Right, they were drawn to his words. They were drawn to his teaching. They longed for it. They're showing up early in the morning for this. All they wanted to do was to sit at his feet and hear him teach and hear his words. This is taking place in between his triumphal entry and the cross. So that longing that the people had to hear from him, that longing is going to change. Pretty soon they're going to be yelling, "Crucify him, crucify him," with the rest of the crowd. Right? It's such a calm, relaxing kind of summary statement. Yeah, the people were hanging on his every word. They loved him. It's really a calm before a storm. The dark clouds are forming on the horizon. I had 6 Lord of the Rings references here. You know them, so I don't have to say them. Jesus knows what's coming. He, in his own life, he knows what's coming. But he knows what's coming down the roads. And he's lovingly warning people. Be ready. Be watchful. Be in prayer. They had many questions, I'm sure they did. And they probably returned the next day to hope that he would answer some of them. We too have many questions. But we must remember that God is in control of all events that have happened in history, that are happening now, and that will happen in the future, that everything has, is, and will happen in his perfect timing according to his perfect plan. And that certainty in the Christian life does not mean having all the details, having all the answers, but trusting in the one who does. We live in a day and an age when there's so many false claims being made. We look around the world and we see persecution is on the rise. We see the chaos of our world, right? I mean, the political chaos, the moral chaos of our world. Right? The end is certain, right? But we must trust the one who's in absolute perfect control of this, because we don't know the timing of it. Right? And as the days go by, as Jesus tarries, and as we have another day on this earth, right, the cost to follow Jesus is only going to increase. And so we have to live in a state of readiness and of watchfulness. We need to be a people who are in prayer for the strength to endure. Let me pray for us. Lord, I just thank you for this morning. Lord, I thank you for the sobering words of this passage. Lord, it's not easy to understand all that is here. But Lord, it's my prayer that we would be a people who stand ready. That we would be a people that are watchful. Lord, that we would be a people of prayer. Lord, that we would pray for ourselves and for our church family here, for our brothers and sisters in Christ at the Bridge Church in Bucksport. The other churches that we pray for in Maine, those that we don't pray for that are Bible-believing, Bible-preaching churches. Lord, that we would pray for our nation, Lord, that we would pray for the believers in our nation, that we would pray for the believers around the world, Lord, that they would have endurance to withstand the pressures. Lord, I pray that you would help us not to waver. I pray that you would continue to strengthen us by your grace to the work of your Spirit as we long for the return of Jesus, as we long for the fulfillment of your promises to make all things new. Lord, we love you and we trust you. And I pray this in your name. Amen.